I'm Donna Driggin, and I was born a few days before World War II started in 1939. My father joined the Navy to help out the country, and my mother and my sister and I, my sister, who was 7 years older than I was, we lived behind my grandparents' home in North Carolina in a house that my grandfather built for us called the Little House. My cousins lived next door to my grandparents' home, and we were all very close, a lot of love. I remember back to the age of three playing with my cousin Peggy, who was a year older than I was, and they even dressed us alike. Her sister was a year older than my sister, and they were very close. Later, when my father was out of the service, we built a home within walking distance to town, and my aunt and uncle built a home next to our grandparents again, and when they moved, another cousin lived down the street from them, and my father was from Nebraska, and he was the only Republican in the family. We moved to Lubbock, Texas, when I was in the fourth grade, to start a business with an old Navy buddy of my father's, but it didn't work out. So we returned from the West, and my father wanted to make sure that we vacationed going to all of the national parks that we could possibly get to before coming back east. He loved beauty and loved the nature. He had been a Eagle Scout, and I don't think he ever got over that. I was so happy to get back to North Carolina and to live near trees again. I missed them so much. We built again in the woods, where I loved playing in the stream near our right behind our home, and my mother was truly a saint because I was always outside playing. She had to drag me in. When my parents moved to another state when I was a junior in high school, they allowed me to live with my cousin my last year in school. My first college was East Carolina in Greenville, North Carolina, Debacoland. I majored in art, and when a professor from Richmond Professional Institute College of William & Mary visited East Carolina, I was impressed and then transferred to RPI, Richmond Professional Institute College of William & Mary, now called VCU. There were a variety of different art majors in my dorm, which was an old mansion in Richmond. I attended the Unitarian Church a couple of blocks away from my dorm, and I enjoyed their classical music. I soon found myself in charge of the girls there at the church, and when I was doing my student teaching, I caught the bus for the first time in my life to the school where I was going to be teaching. An old woman was standing in the middle of the bus, and I gave her my seat because my parents taught me to give a seat to anyone who was older than I was. And I realized when everyone turned around to stare at me that something was wrong with this picture. The woman was African-American, but my parents never mentioned color to me. I realized for the first time what it meant to be a Southerner and that my hometown had two towns, one for whites and one for African-Americans. I found myself involved with a small group from the Unitarian Church, going to the African-American schools that had been closed. I was going on Saturdays with the lawyers and social workers to teach the children whose schools were closed, and I guess I felt responsible due to the lack of awareness that I had had concerning the situation. Soon after, a group in the basement of the church wanted me to write a letter to the governor. Fortunately for me, I was about to graduate, and just in time, I was way over my head. After graduation, I went to Anne Arundel County in Maryland, where the BWI airport is today. I taught art in the high school, and the worst thing a student did in those days was to chew gum. Girls wore dresses, and the schools weren't integrated, and at the time, we could pray in schools. I met my Yankee husband from Pennsylvania shortly after I started teaching. He was a friend of a neighbor. His family were Russian Orthodox. His father was from Austria-Hungary, And his mother's family was also from the same area in Austria-Hungary, although his mother was born in this country. We were married in the Greek Orthodox Church in Baltimore because the Russian priest would not speak English. He could, but would not. I changed school districts to Baltimore County, and after 3 years of teaching, I stopped to hopefully have a family. I hadn't planned to go back to teach. Fortunately, I had two girls, a year apart. My husband built a home that we had designed together in the woods and in the countryside with a stream in the back. My husband and I tried to start an English-speaking Orthodox church for mixed Christian marriages, but the parents of the adults there tried to bring them back to their Orthodox churches, so it didn't work out. But later, English was spoken in most of the churches. So we attended every week, and my husband was president of our church for several years. We were involved with interdenominational groups, and I did artwork for the church and also created one of the first Russian Orthodox festivals in town. At one point when our children were young, the community wanted everybody, or a lot of people, to take Red Cross course in CPR due to the distance to the nearest hospital at the time. I took both courses, and when finished, they pleaded with us to stay to be part of the volunteer ambulance team. I volunteered every Friday evening while my husband babysat, and I was on the first ambulance with women in Maryland. Later, I started graduate school to get a master's of art education, mainly in art, to be with people of like mind, to get out of the house. And shortly after I graduated in 1980, I went with my two girls with their gymnastics team to Austria to compete. Their coach was from Austria. When we returned, my husband and I got involved with the Baltimore International Visitors Council. Our family was really the only American family some of these individuals coming from a variety of countries would ever meet. They were professionals and coming over for lectures to lecture or for short study, and we would entertain them, and they would stay at our homes for a few days. At one point, I was alone in my home, and I yelled out to the heavens, "Would somebody come down here and help me?" Then I found myself shortly after going to workshops, picking up books. And in 1987, a friend who was also an artist would ask if I wanted to go with her to this event. I did, and it turned out to be Elizabeth Clare Prophet's last day at a conference on a Sunday in Baltimore. It was either October or November 1987. I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly which month. My children were both in college by now, and I asked for the first time what God really wanted me to do. What was God's will for me? I really hadn't asked that before because I guess I wasn't ready to do it. The next morning, I got the message I had to go to Summit University. The literature that I had said California, but it turned out to be the second class in Montana when I went, and our textbook was The Lords of the Seven Rays. I hadn't read any of those books, and I really didn't know how to decree at all. I asked my husband for the money since I really had none, and I had been teaching part-time by then at three community colleges and told them I was going to California. My husband gave me the money since he was used to my going to school, and I would attend spring in 1988 for 3 months, and again, I would go again in 1995 for 3 months. But I would take my car the second time because I was really isolated the first time. When my husband made his transition in 1998, I would respond to mother's request, Elizabeth Clare Prophet, when she asked who wanted to attend a three-year ministerial course. And by that time, we were to graduate in 2001. Mother, at that time in 2001, was not in charge due to her illness. I had gone back to teaching children in Baltimore County's public schools part-time for a year by 2001. And in 2005, I had a friend from Summit University in 1995 write me about David and Lanella's 33 Dictations. I started working with the Heart Center and took the course World Teachers and have been with them ever since. I've taken several courses and almost all the courses that they've had, and I've been on 5 pilgrimages. And I stopped teaching in 2012 due to a shoulder replacement that left my arm, right arm, paralyzed for a year and a half. Due to the right arm, I could not teach art. I'm very active with the Baltimore group, as I have been since I first attended Summit University in 1988. And that's it. That's my life.
Wow, Donna, that is a lot. You certainly have done very much, and we're so happy to have you here in the Heart Center with us. And we appreciate you being here as a heart friend with us in the Heart Center. And with just a few remaining minutes here, would you like to tell one maybe exceptional thing about the Heart Center that has meant something to you, maybe on a pilgrimage or something that really is special for you at the Heart Center?
Well, all the pilgrimages were wonderful. I think Egypt, that was my, well, that wasn't the first one, but it was Egypt, and it was so magnificent, and they took really good care of us. And maybe, though, thinking about it, the very first one, when we only had 11 go, we were supposed to have 12. Saint Germain asked for 12, and it was in Mexico, to Mexico. And that was the first one we ever had in the Heart Center. And we were going to go, and David's twin flame was going to go with us. And she kept having to delay and delay and delay. And finally, she didn't make it at all. And so we only had 11. But we did pick up 2 people in Mexico, who lived in Mexico, who knew about us, and a friend from another country who was visiting her. So we were able to do all the things that they told us to do, the masters wanted us to do. And it was really interesting because when we first got in the bus, the little tiny, it wasn't a bus, it was a car, but, you know, one of those little cars that hold a few people, we had to take 2 cars. But I know that Lanello started giving a dictation, and the bus driver was didn't speak English, and we had to stop for gas, and Lanello was still talking. It was so funny, and the bus driver started to say something, and I was sitting in the front seat, and so I put my finger to my mouth, like, be real quiet, and that was pretty interesting. And and fortunately for us, and I think I've mentioned this before, when we were at a hotel in Mexico City, and we had done everything that they had told us to do. We went everywhere. We were singing to Mother Mary like every hour, I think, one day, or maybe it was more than one day. We did everything. And so we were in this hotel, and David, we were just coming back from an excursion where we had to do something. And David said, who lives on the 7th floor? And I said, well, I do, but Carol lived on the corner. She was on the corner where there were, you know, of course, there were only 2 walls that you had to deal with. And then there was the hallway. So we all got in that room and sat around the perimeter of the room. And Tom Miller and I were sitting in the closet filming. He was filming. I was just sitting there. And David was catty-cornered from us. And I was watching. And all of a sudden, I don't even remember who was giving the dictation, a master. But all of a sudden, I saw everybody move to the right and then to the left and to the right and to the left. And then we realized something was really going on. And then the next dictation, and I'm not sure, it may have been Jesus, I'm not sure, they said, if we had not done everything that they had asked us to do, and actually the master said, the earth is moving as I speak, and if we had not done everything that they had asked us to do, that earthquake would have been like an 8. And as it was only like a 3 or 4. So we had picked up 2 more people, so we did have 12. We actually had 13. And we were very, very happy that we were able to fulfill what they wanted us to do. So that's it.
Oh, Donna, thank you. That was a lovely story, and maybe some of us didn't know that that's what happened in Mexico back in the beginning days of the Heart Center, and how we have worked to get together with the masters to help our earth. So such a great story. So wonderful to have you on today, Donna. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.